Garrison Keillor tells a story in his radio show of Prairie Home Companion about a 14-year-old boy whose family moved to Lake Wobegon, the Garrison Keillor's hometown in Minnesota. The boy's mother was the principal of the school, so they moved there, and everyone said, well, if you're not a Catholic, you'll have to go to the Lutheran church. So they started going to the Lutheran church. And Pastor Inkvist, the pastor there, found out that the boy had never been baptized, 14 years old. And so this was a source of some concern. And so Pastor Inkvist spent a whole year getting him ready for his baptism, just like he would for someone who's going to be confirmed. And he told him, now when you're baptized, you're going to be a new person. You're going to be different because baptism is rebirth. So the boy was kind of excited about his baptism. And the day came, and his mother had him wear a white shirt and a tie and slacks and black shoes. And he got up in front of the whole congregation, and there they were up front. And the pastor asked him the questions of renunciation. Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? He said, I do. Do you renounce all the evil powers of this world that corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? He said, I do. Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? I thought, well, I'm only 14. I haven't had a chance to experience the sinful desires, but yes, I do. And then he asked him the three questions of faith. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? I do. Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love? I do. Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord? I do. And then Pastor Inkvist had him put his head over the font where the water was, and the boy closed his eyes, and Pastor Inkvist baptized him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he opened his eyes and looked around, and everything was the same. There was no different. All the same people were in the pews. Pastor Inkvist was there in his robes. He was the same person that he ever was before. And he said, nothing happened. Must not have worked. He says, I don't think I believe in this. They told me I was going to be a new person, but I'm just the same old person. So afterwards, they had a reception in the parish hall with cake and refreshments and sort of a celebration of the baptism. And his mother said, now you walk on home and I'll clean up here and I'll be home later. So he walked home through Lake Wobegon. It's about 8 blocks. And it's a beautiful early summer day. And as he was walking, he noticed how blue the sky is and how green the grass is. And he felt the air on his skin and his body, how it seemed so alive. And he heard the birds. And when he got home, there was his mother's flowers right around the porch where she planted them. And he decided, maybe I'll keep an open mind about the Christian faith, after all. Well, does baptism make us different? We're baptized people. Has it made us different? And my mother grew up on a ranch in South Dakota. And the Riggs family was a prominent family in that area. Her grandfather was a retired missionary and very well-known person throughout the area. And her uncle was the doctor. He had the very first Model T in the area so he could go out to see his patients on the farms. And it was drummed into her head and all her siblings' heads that, remember, you are a Riggs. And Riggses do not lie, they do not drink, they do not swear, they do not gamble. A Riggs's word is to be trusted. And she never forgot that. Baptism is sort of like that. It's sort of like your family of origin. You can ignore it. You can even fight against it and try to be something different, but you cannot deny it or make it not happen. Baptism is a part of who we are. Once we've been baptized, we are baptized Christian. That's why when we have the, when we say the baptismal covenant four times a year, the priest comes around with water and a branch and sprinkles water on you, says, remember your baptism. Don't forget it. get us a little wet in the process. Well, the reading from the letter to the Colossians today is a reflection on baptism. In the early church, baptism was the only thing you had to do to become a Christian. Once you had gone through all the teaching and the catechism, and you'd been baptized, that was it. It was full inclusion in the body of Christ. But in Colossia, some people were adding some extras on. They wanted to say, well, you got to believe in these angels, and you've got to do these special worship rites, and there's these special philosophies, and it'll raise you up to a higher level. You'll be a special kind of Christian, kind of an elite. And so they were changing the Christian faith and adding requirements. And Paul writes to the people at Colossae, and he says, no, baptism is all you need. Baptism gives you everything you need to be a follower of Christ. He says, the fullness of God dwells in Christ bodily. And when you are baptized, the fullness, you come to fullness in Christ yourself. So baptism is all you need. There's no need for extras. It's all there. He says, you were buried with Christ in baptism. You were dead. But God has made you alive with Christ and has raised you up. You are a new person now that you've been baptized. You've been forgiven. You say, well, I still sin. True, but now you're given second chances. You have new beginnings. There is hope. Paul talks about how our sins have been forgiven. He says, if your sins were listed on a piece of paper, God takes that piece of paper and he erases every one. And he tears that paper up into little bits. And he puts it in the fire and burns it up. And if there's anything left, he nails it onto the cross to get rid of it completely. That's how our sins are forgiven. Baptism. I think baptism is a great mystery. We're always wondering, what is my baptism for me? You know, when Jesus was baptized, it says the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And we're always sort of listening to hear the sound of dove's wings. We're listening to God to see what our baptism is calling us to. We're different. You know, whether I like it or not, I'm a baptized Christian. I can ignore it. I can even fight against it. But I can't deny that it happened. We recently did a mutual ministry review survey in the church, and a couple of the comments on the survey said, I don't know what the mission of St. Anthony's is, which I guess we need to publicize it a little better. It's in every newsletter on the last page. But the mission of St. Anthony's is to be a loving and welcoming people who worship God, grow in Christ, and serve others. And we sort of encapsulated that in three words: gather, grow, and go. I've been meeting with Bishop Gregg for the standing committee meetings, and he's been talking about how the mission of the diocese is, people want to add on to the mission of the diocese. They keep wanting to add extra things that the diocese ought to do. And he says, you know, the mission of the diocese is not done by the staff at the bishop's office. It's not some program that we carry out. He says the mission of the diocese is the baptismal covenant that we receive at our baptism, that each person in the diocese carries out in their daily lives. That's what it means to be a baptized person. As baptized people, we are commissioned. It's the ministry of all the baptized people that's the mission of the church. Bishop Gregg says he thinks maybe we've got it backwards. You know, when we have an ordination, we have this great ceremony, a big procession with all kinds of acolytes and choir members and extra clergy and incense, and we have special music and gifts are given, and it's this incredible celebration. And with baptism, it's just a humble thing done in a parish church on a Sunday. And he says maybe we should switch that around. He says, I can ordain people in my office, but a baptism ought to be something special, like an ordination is now. As baptized people, we are commissioned by God. We're set apart. We're different. So I'd like us to turn in our prayer books to page 304 and read the baptismal covenant, the promises we make. This is our mission. Page 304, if you'll turn to that page. And if you see down towards the bottom of the page, it says, will you continue? That's the beginning of the promises. Why don't you read that to me and I will answer. And we'll continue through the five promises. So let's read that together. Will you continue in the I will continue in the Eucharist. I'll continue to meet and to pray. Yes, I will, with God's help. I will say the confession of sin every Sunday. I will, with God's help. As best I can, I will tell other people about my faith. I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will try to help those in need as much as I can. I will, with God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people, and respect the dignity of every human being?
I'll work for social justice as best I can. I will, with God's help. So that is the mission of the church right there. That's what we are called to as baptized people. That's what we do in our daily life. So I hope you'll think about your baptism, about you, how you belong to God, how you're set apart, and how you're different. So let's read together the prayer for the baptized on page 308. It's up at the top of the page there. And let's change the word these and them to us, so that we're praying for ourselves as baptized people. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by water and the Holy Spirit, you have bestowed upon us, your servants, the forgiveness of sin, and have raised us to the new life of grace. Sustain us, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Give us an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works. Amen. As Paul says in Colossians, as therefore you have received Christ Jesus the Lord in baptism, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Amen.